It's time to enter the world of real estate in Oahu with Hawaii's only true real estate radio show, the Team Lally Real Estate Show. Grab a pen and get ready to take notes. For the next full hour, Hawaii's premier real estate leader, Adrienne Lally, and Attilio Leonardi will bring you the latest in real estate news and real-world strategies on how they can guarantee to sell your home at a price and deadline you agree to, or they'll buy it. Now, here are your hosts, Adrienne and Attilio.
Welcome to the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the Guaranteed Sold program, or we'll buy it. If you have any questions, you can reach us at 799-9596 or check us out on the web at teamlally.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Attilio. And, you know, on this part of the show, we have a life coaching moment. And what I want to talk about is, I do sometimes talk about life coaching moments, but sometimes a coaching moment can happen just in a word. And the word for today, well, it's two words. We have what we call buzzwords.
Mm-hmm.
Adrienne, what's a buzzword? What do you think a buzzword is?
Maybe just like a word that's kind of like trending or like a catchy kind of phrase.
Yeah. Well, the definition that I liked about what a buzzword is, it's a word that people hear and they think they know a lot about it, or they say or pretend that they know a lot about it, but when you start asking them some detailed questions, you find out they don't know a lot about it. For example, like IRAs,
mm-hmm.
You know, individual retirement accounts, you know, people, oh yeah, I know what an IRA is, but you start asking them some detailed questions, they don't know like the tax. 1031 exchanges,
mm-hmm.
What's another one?
Which we actually had a mastermind on
yeah.
This last month, the 1031 exchanges.
So I'm going to give you guys a combo buzzword for today. And it's a Hawaiian word. It's
mm-hmm.
a Hawaiian word that's a buzzword, and that word is kuleana.
Uh-huh.
And kuleana, you know, you go ahead and Google it. You know, I'm not going to give you the, you know, PhD Hawaiian definition of it. I'll give you my definition of it, and I think it's pretty close to it. It's responsibility. If we only had one English word to translate into kuleana, and I want to speak to, another word that I will segue into is context. You know, a lot of times when we hear a buzzword or we hear a Hawaiian word like kuleana and we think we know the definition, we got to make sure that we're understanding it within the context of what is the discussion regarding that word. And again, this is going to lead into just something quick and by no means on a real estate radio show are we going to say, hey, are we a legitimate enough organization to be speaking on these types of topics or something that might be of current affairs. But you know what?
It's your opinion.
It's my opinion, and it's our radio show. So that's what we get
can
to
talk,
do.
Yeah, we can talk about whatever we want.
Yeah.
It's our time on the air.
And what's good about when it's your opinion is that, obviously, I don't want to be not factual about things that I do talk about. So I'll give you the context of me and why I'm sharing this word kuleana or responsibility. We are a real estate company, and, you know, the word is called aina, right? The land. And
mm-hmm.
how we make our living is helping people buy and sell real estate. And some people have challenges with that and not. But it is what it is. This is our modern-day society. And more importantly, the real estate or the aina or the kuleana that I want to talk to you is coming from the context, and you got to know about the person that's sharing this information with you. I'm half Hawaiian. I live on Hawaiian homes. I was blessed to be able to graduate from Kamehameha Schools. So I've had my son graduate from Kamehameha Schools, and I almost feel like, hey, I won the Hawaiian lottery
mm-hmm.
by having these blessings and these benefits for being Native Hawaiian. And being Hawaiian, you know, it's a cultural identity, right? And one of the things, obviously, and you know where I'm going with this, is the big thing that's polarizing our state of Hawaii and our communities and our Hawaiians and non-Hawaiians is what?
Mauna Kea.
Mauna Kea. Mauna Kea and the 30-meter telescope. Now, here's one of the things that I've learned when you have a discussion about something as polarizing as that or anything in general. Don't be speaking to it like it's a buzzword. It's something that you think you have an understanding of it, but if you were asked a bunch of detailed questions, you really don't. And so one of the things that I'm going to be doing two Fridays from now is I'm going to go to Mauna Kea. My
mm-hmm.
sisters, you know, we were just talking about it this past week, and I said, hey, let's go. And, you know, one of the things I posed to them, and I haven't gotten the answers from all three of my sisters, is like, what is your why? Why do you want to go there? My oldest sister, Michelle, I'm the oldest and I have three sisters, but my 1 year younger sister said, Michelle said this, I have a call, I have a need, something inside me is pulling me to want to be there and go and witness this historical event. And then my sister Tina, I think it just, for more from her perspective, it's, you know, kind of like the something historically going down in modern times and then being there. There's a difference between reading about it in a history book and actually being there, right? Mm-hmm. So the reason why I want to go there, because I'm not going to comment on it at this point in time on our show.
Until you have all the facts.
Right? One way or the other.
Do the research.
And even then, even after having all the facts, it's still about sharing an opinion based
on
your
perspective.
Facts. Yeah, because I'm not going to go do a research, do a documentary, go super deep on this. What I've done so far, I've listened to Offshore, which is a podcast. And interesting enough, they did a 6-series podcast on this over a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. quite a while ago, maybe 2 years ago. And everything that I listened to on that podcast in the last couple of days is just as relevant today as it was back then, talking about the history. But so the reason, so what is my why? Why am I going to go up there? Because I want to be able to speak from factual basis, like, hey, I've been up there. I've seen with my own eyes. I felt with my own heart. What exactly is going on up there? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of stuff. And I think everyone's access to why is this going on? Why is this controversy is being limited to what you're reading in the newspaper and what you're seeing on social media? And do we know for a fact that what we read in the newspaper and what we see on social media is factual?
We know for a fact that it's, you know, it's all the perception.
It's perception.
And their perspective and what they want you to see and read.
So when I'm up, the learning mode. So Kuleana, our responsibility for me as a Hawaiian, I feel I need to go there and find out what's going on, get it firsthand. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just prepping you for the next radio show. Might not be the next one. Could be the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be coming back.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. I'll be coming back and talking to you about what is going on Mauna Kea and what was my experience when I went there.
Well, I'll be interested to hear, and hopefully you don't get arrested while you're up there.
So yeah, maybe I'll get arrested.
I'll be your bail buddy. I'll be ready to bail you out.
Civil disobedience. Sometimes you have to do things to make a message. I'm not going there with that purpose in mind.
No,
I'm going there to learn
happened.
And to speak to people firsthand, both sides of the situation in a peaceful way. Mm-hmm. In a peaceful way, because I think that's what's going on up there is my perception right now is that things are being done. People stopping the traffic on the freeway, whether we agree or disagree, you know, everyone is trying to have their voice be heard.
Yeah.
Have their voice be heard. And again, so stay tuned for that. Kuleana, go up there and find out what's going on. I think it's my responsibility as a native Hawaiian to go there. Find out what's going on. And in one of the podcasts, one of the ladies, she had worked there for 10 years as an astronomer, but she's a native Hawaiian. Now she's on the other side of the issues. And she said this, for her, it's a matter of taking and looking back in our history as Hawaiians, understanding our culture, our spiritual needs, our right to practice these ceremonies, and bringing it fast forward to today's modern day consciousness. So that is, in a sentence, what I'm hoping to achieve. Is having an understanding of my history, my culture, and going there and putting it into a context of our modern consciousness. Because we're all, you know, I get up every day just like everybody else, go to work, mm-hmm. you know, trying to take care of our families and serve our clients, and that's what we're doing. But it's our responsibility, our kuleana, that if we're going to comment on things or have an understanding of things, that we go there and we research it. We speak to people firsthand, eyeball to eyeball. And bring back our perspective. So stay tuned for that.
Yes, I'm interested to hear about your adventure.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to read real quick a review. These reviews, they just keep coming in.
Uh-huh.
I think they've got like over 100 reviews on their Yelps, but this is...
Who's this review for?
This review is for Duke and Lucille.
With what company?
With Hawaii Pacific Property Management. So Duke and Lucille came to my house personally to answer all of my questions and put everything on the table. They were completely transparent. They were thorough and did not try to hard sell their services. I've spent 25 years in the military and I am required to move quite frequently, which makes it difficult for managing properties. Duke's team has made the transition as seamless as possible. especially my property manager, Lucille. She has been extremely proactive from day one. The marketing products and owner portals are top-notch. She carefully screened all applicants until she found one that met my standard. We found a tenant in no time. I had several minor maintenance issues that she resolved. Every time I've asked a question, I got an immediate response. Communication through her to my tenants is timely. To summarize, from a military homeowner's perspective, go with these guys and ask for Lucille. So I was actually, I was at the property team management meeting. Team meeting the other day. And, you know, just the kind of things that they are masterminding on and talking about. I mean, it all revolves around service.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they had put into place was a Monday update. So for any unit that's vacant, you know, they're reporting, they're having a voice-to-voice conversation with their owners about, you know, comments from the showings, any prospective tenants, if there's any pricing situations or like things that they could do to make the unit show better. So they're having a weekly conversation and all the owners are so grateful. And I know, you know, that not all companies are going to have that level of, you know, of communication.
Well, I want to help you here.
Yes.
You know, how do languages die?
By not being spoken.
By not being spoken and used. So I want to bring into context. This here's our word again, kuleana.
Yes.
And what Lucille has made her kuleana is her responsibility to her clients.
Yes.
So I'm speaking the Hawaiian word for today so that you can understand its context and how it can be used. And so I did look up the definition to make it a little bit more articulate in the way that I'm using it. But the Hawaiian word of the day, kuleana. Kuleana is uniquely Hawaiian value and practice, which is loosely translated to mean responsibility. The word kuleana refers to a reciprocal relationship between the person who is responsible and the thing which they are responsible for. For example, Hawaiians have a kuleana to our land. To care for it and to respect it and return, our land has the kuleana to feed, shelter, and clothe us. Though this relationship, we maintain balance within society and within our natural environment. So, yeah, Lucille, maintaining balance by letting these homeowners know what's going on with their properties, right? She's taking it on as responsibility.
And I can also speak as an owner. So Lucille is helping me with my,
your property?
With my personal property. And when it went vacant, she was very proactive, emailing, texting me, calling me. I'm like super busy, so I'm not always the easiest person to connect with. But she was very proactive as well, and you know, got the unit rented. And then even when I have repairs or things that need to be fixed, you know, she is all over it and just great with communication.
You know, so. It's very important. And why, you know, we're licensed agents. Why don't we manage our own stuff?
Oh yeah, there's just, you know, understanding and knowing the tenant landlord code and all of the ins and outs. It's just there's so much that
What's the big negative reason why we don't do it?
There's a lot of litigation.
Yeah, liability.
I think, you know, it was funny, you know, Duke was mentioning at the meeting that, you know, it was kind of quiet for like the last 3-4 months. Then all of a sudden, boom, there was like 4 or 5 different legal issues that all came down at once with, you know, disgruntled, you know, tenants or, you know, just all sorts of stuff that really wasn't necessarily within their control, but they're dealing with it on their owner's behalf.
Yeah. So if you're an investor out there, if you have rental properties and you're doing it yourself, I don't know. I think
it's a lawsuit waiting to happen at some point.
Because you don't know what you don't know. And ignorance is no protection against the tenant landlord code. And in Hawaii, just so you know, you owners out there or you people who want to invest in properties, Hawaii favors the tenant.
Yep.
So you really got to dot your I's and cross your T's when you're in a management situation.
And even when you dot your I's and cross your T's, they can still rule in favor of the tenant. And we've heard stories of that time and time again. Yeah. So, you know, get a professional property management company that focuses only on property management to help take care of your investments.
And you know what? There's only one company we recommend, and don't take our word for it. We just read a Yelp review.
Yeah, check them out on Yelp. Check them out on their website too, hipacificpm.com. You can reach them at 445-9223. That's 445-9223.
All right. Speaking of people that help us and protect us and make our lives easier,
we've got Janice. from Dream House Drafting with her tip of the week. Are you there,
Well,
Janice?
My tip of the week? Yes, I am.
Hello.
It's hot.
Yes.
Tip of the week, stay cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Today's tip of the week is for our listeners who live in older homes, single wall construction type homes, especially those who have the vaulted ceiling. Many people are really enamored with the vaulted ceiling that they call the open beam ceiling. Mm-hmm. And they suffer terribly with the heat, the hot time of the year because of it. However, what I wanted to share is that you can significantly reduce your air conditioning bill and significantly cool your home by insulating your open beam vaulted ceiling. And no, you don't have to give up that look. It can easily be recreated with faux beams. So the idea is that between the large 4x rafters, one would run insulation. The local code is for on the roof, it should be a minimum of R factor 19. That's what we have to put in as a minimum for roof cavity insulation for any new additions or new homes.
Yeah.
And so if you put that between the rafters and then run either your drywall, or if they like the tongue and groove decking, it really doesn't matter, and it gets fastened over the existing rafters, then they can simply add a faux beam, faux being the French word for false.
Yes.
And you can finish it any color you wish. If the height of the ceiling is going to look kind of too low with the faux beam, then it can just be a 2x4, actually, and not really be that thick and provide the accented wood color. You can stain it or paint it or however you wish. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that now you have an insulated ceiling above your head, reducing the amount of heat coming through, and it can cool you off.
So what kind of cost are we looking at to insulate the ceiling on average or range?
Adrian, you guys know I am not a licensed general contractor, so I don't shop for this stuff, nor do I have any access to actual labor rates. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that I have seen this type of work done very nicely by people on their own as do-it-yourselfers, simply because they're not taping and mudding the seams over the existing rafters. They're, you know, screwing the drywall into it, and then they're covering it with a faux beam.
Okay. Sounds so, could either go either way. Have a pro do it or do it yourself.
Fairly
so it could be pretty pretty affordable, depending on which way you go.
But yeah, and I guess one could just check at any of the local supply places and find out what does, you know, R19 or better. It's going to go with the thickness is the number. So if you've got a situation where you can go higher, that gives you a better insulation factor. And for people thinking about new design, well, you can really, if your community association would allow you to have a relatively flat roof, then you can be both green and cool by having a planted roof, which insulates better than anything. They're being done on the mainland in cold areas and hot areas because they heat the cold out and the heat out.
Awesome.
All right. You can have your garden a pie away from all the slugs.
Thanks, Janice. Those are some interesting ideas to you know, keep insulation in.
There's your word of the day, faux. Faux meaning fake. Faux is good for the rafter beams, but not good for pictures on dating sites. You want to have real pictures on the dating sites, not the faux ones.
What about like faux to eat?
Pho, that's Vietnamese.
Yes, I like
pho.
Yes, I like that pho.
That's not even
I know, but it's just, that's what I think.
Sounds
of.
The same. That's it a does. Completely different word. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Janice. All right. So that was Janice with Dreamhouse Drafting. You can find her online at dreamhousedrafting.com or give her a call at 206-7107.
Yep.
And next up, we've got the mortgage genius, Jody Tonga, with her mortgage tip of the week.
Hey, Jody, what you got for us?
Hi. Okay, so there's been a lot of talking about this new bill that passed, which has to do with the VA loan. And actually, the VA loan is a small component of it, but there is a ton of ambiguity out there. I did want to just share about some of the highlights and why I think it may not be as big of an impact on us in Hawaii as some people may have previously thought. Mm-hmm. The changes will not occur until January of 2020, that we know. There's a whole bunch of guidance that is just totally unknown. For instance, one of the things they're saying is that the funding fee, which is upfront fee that gets added to the total amount being borrowed, which is a VA requirement unless you have a certain percentage of disability, that might increase. So
oh, wow.
That's, yes. So for instance, on a first-time usage, it's 2.15%. So if you're purchasing a property for $100,000, which mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, for easy math, the funding fee is $2,150. That, of course, gets much larger if you're purchasing a property that's $700,000, right? Then you're like $14,000.
Mm-hmm.
But that they're saying that that's going to go up, and they're saying that's to help keep the program going, but also to help finance health care costs for veterans, I mean, basically for anything that may have happened to veterans in the past.
So again, how is it calculated again?
Is it for health care and for like disability or like just all of those things that kind of all
She's
encompass?
Not with the VA administration. She's just telling you in general what the money's yeah. being used for. Right,
yeah.
Jody?
Yeah, so it actually the bill actually says a slight bump in loan fees is intended to help finance health care costs
okay.
for veterans who are suffering the effects of Agent Orange exposure mm-hmm. as a result of their service. So it's yeah. like Agent Orange time period.
Okay.
That's Vietnam. Yeah.
Vietnam. So that I thought was really interesting. The other thing is that it specifically states that it enables home buyers using a VA loan to borrow above the 2019 limit of $484,350 for most counties.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're well above that.
Yeah.
So what about us? You know, so my question, basically, I've been kind of emailing a couple contacts at the VA and saying, like, is ours going to go up? Are we going to have some relief? Like, meaning if someone wants to buy something above $726,000, like, let's say even $750 or $775, are they at a point where they're not going to have a required down? Or, you know, because we're already so well over this $484 that they're citing, which is, in parentheses, most counties,
yeah.
Are we pretty much not going to see any difference?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds kind of ambiguous, too, as far as, like, how much more until you are into the jumbo and having to put down a down payment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should plan for the worst and be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
That should be a
issue. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, the other question I had for you, Jody, with the VA loan on the subsequent uses, your funding fee is increased. So mm-hmm. does that mean that like the second or third time that you use your VA loan, does that funding fee also go up since the initial funding fee?
Right. The bill doesn't specifically state, but it's definitely very open-ended. Mm-hmm. And I would tend to gather that both fees will go up, first-time use and subsequent use.
Okay.
All right.
Good stuff to know.
Yes, keep us in the loop with this as you get more information.
Well, we definitely will. And we were thinking, like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. Because, like, imagine if someone wants to buy something for $900,000, he might be able to just do zero down, like, oh my gosh. But of course, he still has to qualify. Yeah. But it's still, you know, it's still a benefit. But then we kind of we saw the bill and we kind of were reading in between the lines. And it's like, oh, well, they're talking about like counties that have limits of 484,000. So yeah. We're already way above that.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see. But I just kind of wanted to speak on that because it's kind of been a big buzz mm-hmm. going around.
Yeah, that was the beginning of our show. We were talking about the buzzwords. So yeah. That tied in perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
This VA right. funding fee buzz and this new bill. So thank you, Jody.
Thanks, Jody.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye.
All right, so stay tuned. Jody's going to give us updates on that bill and how it's really panning out, and I'll be reporting on what happened, what's going on up in Mauna Kea.
Yep, so, but you can give Jody and her team a call with any questions or to get pre-qualified, refis, 488-5510. Check them out online at PacRemMTG.com.
Hey, real quick, we're about to take a break, but we just want to give you a quick reminder, HawaiiAgentMastermind.com.
HawaiiAgentMastermind.com.
August 1st, who are we going to have talking?
The one and only Kevin Miyama.
And what's he going to be talking about?
He is going to be talking about the market update with what is happening in our real estate world here with days on market, the trends, what we can expect for you know the rest of 2019. He's been in this business a long time. Was even our past HBR president.
Mm-hmm.
So very knowledgeable guy, knows his numbers, knows his stuff. Come on out and let's have a discussion on what's going on in the real estate market.
You ever want to find out what those dates or who our speakers or what the topic is, just go to HawaiiAgentMastermind.com.
Mm-hmm.
One other website, HawaiiCareerNight.com. If you go to HawaiiCareerNight.com, every other month, I think, what is it, the first Monday of the month,
mm-hmm.
we do host a career night at our office to talk about the real estate career. And then the last one is JoinTeamLally.com. We are in desperate need of some hungry, humble, and smart people to come join our team. We got champagne problems. We got too many leads and not enough agents to help us follow up and go and help these clients. So that's another website, JoinTeamLally.com. Hey, we're about to take a break, but stay with us. When we come back, we'll be talking with Jackie Troller of Ocean Troller Freediving. She will be talking to us about the world of freediving and the best way to learn. So stay with us.
Tired of waiting 2-3 months to finalize your home loan or refinance? Jody Tonga and her team at Pacific Rim Mortgage have a turn time of 30 days or less by processing your loans locally.
Take advantage of today's low interest rates by calling our good friend Jody Tonga of Pacific Rim Mortgage. Her personal cell is 488-5510. That's 488-5510.
Hey, Adrian, guess what?
What, Attilio?
Jody has a huge secret.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
I can tell you.
Yes, you can.
Okay, here it is. Jody has a free home buying guide that reveals insider tips others may not want you to know.
Wow, how do I get this free home buying guide?
Easy. Just go to her website, PacificRim.com. That's PAC or PACRIMMTG.com.
I see the free home buyer guide has valuable information that can help me avoid mistakes and could cost me tens of thousands of dollars over the lifetime of my loan.
Yes. So check out their site. That's PacificRim.com or give her a call at 488-5510. That's 488-5510. What's the website?
It's PAC, P-A-C, RIM, R-I-M, Mortgage, M-T-G.com.
Hawaii, NMLS ID 1032554.
Hey, it's your friend Sean Hannity, and as you know, I am not afraid to be honest and say exactly what I feel. When it comes to selling your home, you need to know there are real estate agents out there that just rely on yard signs, well, and a few hundred dollars of marketing. Now, I'm going to make this very easy for you and tell you about a team of real estate agents whose marketing plan is in a whole different league than anyone else you will talk to. I'm talking about Adrian Lally and Attilio Leonardi of Team Lally Real Estate Group of Keller Williams, Honolulu. Now, Adrian and Attilio spend thousands of dollars every month and attract hundreds of buyers every week. Now, because of that, if they can't sell your home at a price and deadline that you agree to, they will buy your home. Real estate mogul and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran only recommends Team Lally in Hawaii. And if I needed to sell a home in Hawaii, well, I would call Team Lally. Call Team Lally now at 799-9596. Online at 808GuaranteedSale.com. That's 808GuaranteedSale.com. And consider your home sold.
Hi, I'm Barbara Corcoran. To sell your home on time for the most money, you need a sharp agent with a marketing strategy that creates the most demand. Bottom line? You need a partner willing to put their own money on the line for you. In Hawaii, I would hire Adrian Lally and Antilio Leonardi. Their marketing strategy is so effective that if your home doesn't sell on terms you agree to, Team Lally will buy it. Partner with the team I trust. Go online or call and get your home sold.
The Team Lally Real Estate Show continues. Give it to me, I'm worth it.
Baby, I'm worth it. Welcome back and thanks for listening to the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the Guaranteed Sold program, or we'll buy it. I'm Adrian.
And I'm Attilio.
And if you have any questions, just give us a call at 799-9596 or check us out on the web at teamlally.com.
Our guest today is a professional free dive instructor and safety diver, primarily instructing free dive courses on Oahu. Her skilled background as a swim instructor, NOAA scientific diver, and part-time school teacher contributes to towards her ability to effectively relay course content and the essence of free diving.
Having graduated with a degree in marine science from the University of Hawaii, along with residing in the Hawaiian Islands for over 10 years, she peppers her instruction with interesting facts about local ocean life, and she is the founder of Ocean Troller Freediving. Please welcome our guest, Jackie Troller.
Hey, Jackie.
Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Yes, welcome to the show.
So, local style, when we always like to get to know the people a little bit more before we get into the business. What brought you to Hawaii besides the university? What's your story? How did you get to Hawaii?
I vacationed as a kid on the shores of Lake Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And even though it is a lake, you cannot see the other side. So it has an ocean-esque feel to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was a part of the swim team, taught swim lessons in high school, coached a swim team in high school as well. And actually, my mom has a letter that I wrote in first grade. Mm-hmm. And it was assignment, and even in that letter, in first grade, I somehow knew I wanted to be a marine scientist. So,
Oh wow.
That took me out to Hawaii. No better place.
Yeah. And here you are. Is this some place that, and we always ask, we know how we got here, and the next question is, where are we going? Is this a place where your ashes or your body is going to be buried, or?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean... I really like exploring, so I see travel in my future, but Hawaii is definitely an incredible home base.
Okay. Well, how have you been here for 10 years? How has that been going?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Boating, sailing, freediving, living, breathing the ocean. So.
Yeah. So speaking of freediving, can you tell us a little bit about this program that you offer?
Sure.
And who is it for?
So my website's oceantroller.com, and I do freediving courses, and I just recently launched some snorkeling classes. The snorkeling classes started because I was shuttling for Hawaii shark encounters and realized that some people had never put on a mask and snorkel but wanted to be a part of these snorkeling adventures.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for people to learn the right equipment and to educate on ocean safety, because like the full face masks are not very safe to use. So
yeah, let's talk about that. How so?
There's CO2 buildup, and some people try to say, oh, my product doesn't build up CO2. It's just a one big mask strapped to your face, so you're exposing both of your airways to water if there's a leak,
mm-hmm.
and it's very tight. Actually, a lot of people who are having problems are experienced swimmers because they're using it to work out, and that's when you get high CO2 buildup and pass out. So pretty dangerous. But freediving and snorkeling, there's so many cool skills and things to learn that you can take with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing how to buy the right equipment alone is a game changer.
Well, let's talk about the equipment, because, I've been guilty. I go buy those full face masks. And the challenge that I was running into, because I had the three different sizes for my kids and stuff like that, it was really tough to get them to not leak.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because it's like you're trying to fit the contour of this mask all the way around the outline of your face, and everybody's face is different, right?
Yep.
As opposed to a mask that's just going around the eyes and the snorkels around the mouth. So I just went back to the other way because it just felt more comfortable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one good way to test a mask fit, as a freediver, we tend to go for low volume masks. But if you take the strap and just hold it above, put the mask on your face. Don't put the strap around your head.
Yeah.
Just put the mask to your face and inhale through your nose. It should have a nice suction. And you shouldn't have to crank down your mask to where it's leaving marks. That's a evidence of a bad fit.
So what you're saying is you're going to inhale through your nose and then it should create a little vacuum.
Yep.
With the mask, just without even the strap on.
Yep.
Okay, cool. That's a good thing to do. What other things do we need? Oh, so I don't question, you know, like, anti-fogging, you know, I grew up in Hawaii and we used to use two things, either spit. Or like we would we would crumble up the naupaka leaves.
Yes.
On the shore.
And
crunch that into the onto the inside of the. I don't know. My uncles taught me that, and my grandfather.
That's what I use.
Yeah.
Some people live by their defog, but that's what I use.
What about toothpaste? Stuff.
Okay, so toothpaste is good for when it comes out of the factory.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize there's a factory coat on the lenses, the glass lenses specifically, in their masks. So it, even with spit, it continues to fog. What you're supposed to do once you buy a mask is use toothpaste, or you can even burn it with a lighter just to get that factory film off, and it'll help it not fog as much in the future.
So you just use toothpaste like the first time. You don't keep using toothpaste.
You don't have to keep using it.
Okay. So after the toothpaste.
What about flossing? Do you have to floss your mask? So let's talk about people's, what was that movie? Was the movie, was it called Into the Blue? It was something about it was about free diving, but like crazy, like way deep.
Yes.
But it was an old movie and then just talking about it. How far depth-wise have you gone when you're freediving?
I have gone 45 meters.
45 meters. Two more meters and you'd be in that movie. 47 meters?
Oh, 40, yes. 47 meters.
So, and for us Americans, because we're not into the metrics, how many feet is that? Three times?
Yeah.
Multiplied times three?
Yeah.
Wow. And no oxygen tank?
No.
So what are so you talked about there's benefits of this that you use in your life. So translate that for us. Unpack that for us. With what you do in this, you can use it in your everyday life.
Oh, man. I love freediving because there's so many applications to life. Freediving, even when I do my warm-up, I'm exposed to negative thoughts. And on that first dive, for some reason, I'm always like, why am I doing this? But then after that first warm up, you overcome discomfort and you transition into comfort. So it's overcoming discomfort into comfort, and then suddenly you're hanging out with the fish, and that's why you do it, because you're one with this underwater realm, which is incredible. Of course, always with the proper safety, but in life, we encounter these situations of negativity, and it's not. If you're being negative, I don't like that, we should be happy all the time. I think that's very unrealistic.
That's not realistic, yeah.
But it teaches you how to handle negativity, and it teaches you to acknowledge it and let it go immediately.
Yeah.
So in freediving, negativity manifests itself. Like if you start having negative thoughts, you can actually feel it in your body as tension.
Mm-hmm.
And once you feel that tension, it affects your diaphragm and then you suddenly can't equalize. And that's one of freedivers' biggest challenges is equalization. So just like one negative thought manifests in tension, which then leads to turning around. So it's all about...
Let's talk about that. What is that equalization?
Equalization, so up to 66 feet. First of all, freedivers use Frenzel technique, versus Valsalva is used by scuba divers.
Okay.
The way scuba divers equalize is not applicable to freediving.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure and the fact that you're not carrying an air source with you prevents you from being able to equalize at depth. So like when you're going to 66 feet, we use Frenzel. And then from there, when like in intermediate classes where we go to 116 feet, we have to like introduce a whole new method of getting air up into your cheeks so okay. that you can equalize. Because not being able to equalize will also cause discomfort and tension and make you turn around.
Is that like, because I've, you know, when you go dive to the bottom of the pool and you're feeling the pressure, right?
Yeah.
So equalizing is like, is it taking the internal pressure within your body and having it match the external pressure or?
Yeah. And you do that by using your throat as a piston. So okay. there's a technique where you're pretty much pulling air up and then you want to keep the air up in your cheeks to keep it available.
Keep it available. So that's your oxygen tank, whatever's
in
your cheeks.
That's our little mini tank.
So what kind of training or drills are you doing with your students, and how long does it take them to get to, you know, your level?
Sure. The first course, the beginner freediver course through Performance Freediving International, that's my parent company. They're awesome certifying agency. That goes to 66 feet, and it's a combination of classroom, confined water, and open ocean sessions. I do take a boat out so you guys don't have to swim from shore.
Yeah.
And then it moves on to the intermediate class, which maxes out at 116 feet. For the intermediate, and that's a four-day intensive. It goes a lot more. Both courses go into the physics and physiology, safety of freediving equipment, all sorts of stuff. But then the intermediate is like way more intensive and kind of goes deeply into the science. But it's interesting. I wasn't into yoga. I always thought it was like kind of a cult thing.
Yeah.
But then my friend was like, dude, you're meditating. When you do this breath hold, you're mm-hmm. meditating.
Uh-huh.
And from there, I like started researching yoga and found out that freediver have actually adapted a lot of techniques from yogis.
Oh,
yogis,
wow.
And yeah. have incorporated it into our breathing methods. So
do you have yoga as part of your course? Or
now I am now a yoga instructor. So I do have more of a background to incorporate it.
Nice.
But I also keep it relevant because I realize a lot of people haven't gone down the yogi path. But mm-hmm. I try to relate it to things that are relevant in people's lives.
I mean, free diving is the ultimate, I think about it as the ultimate accountable situation for mind-body connection, because if you don't, you die. Right? You know, it's like,
okay, this is the crazy part. There's a lot of misconception about freediving and how extreme it is. Mm-hmm. And a couple years ago, it was like listed as like the top most extreme sports, but it's really safe. It's extremely safe. And the way we keep it safe is by having a buddy that is properly trained in the safety. 90% of blackouts happen on the surface, even after someone's taken a couple breaths. And that is super preventable.
Yes,
just by having an attentive buddy.
Yeah. So, and then tell us about some of the stories that these people, why do they come to you? Are this like, hey, I'm an insurance guy and I want to do some free diving. I mean, what are people's why on why they want to do stuff like this that you've come across?
Insta mermaid. No.
Yeah.
I get a variety. Lately, I've been giving free presentations. So if you're interested in a presentation, hit me up. But about how breathing affects our lives and how we can tap into different mindsets. Mm-hmm. So I've had people just interested in living a better life participate. I've had a lot of yogis due to the crossover. And then, of course, I have spear fishermen who are interested in extending their bottom time and making their dives more efficient.
How long can somebody, I mean, what's typical? There was that, what was that magician where he like held his breath for like.
David Blaine.
Yeah, how many, was that 20 minutes? That was some crazy number.
So it's not a free dive record because he did get on gas with 100% O2, I believe. But Performance Freediving International, my parent company, my yeah. certifying agency, they worked with him for that record.
Yeah.
So that's why I love my company, because they do stuff with Navy SEALs, Hollywood. Recently, they're working on Avatar. And I can say that much just because there was a press release on the mm-hmm. news, sure. but I'm not going to give any more spoilers on that one.
Gotcha.
So what is the record without the, what is it, the CO2? Is
there without the O2?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm not completely caught up on my records. I believe the last one that I knew was somewhere in 11 minutes for males. Wow.
But how long, how many feet, like roughly, it's, I don't know.
So it's different disciplines. Okay. You either go for time at the surface, and you're just like sitting in 3 feet of water or whatever.
Yeah, just holding your breath.
And then there's depth. The Americans were super behind until Daniel Colval of Hawaii, he lives here, just reached a record of 105 meters. So he is repping the U.S. and finally getting us into the 100-meter club, which is pretty cool.
And pretty much at that, there's no light, right? How when does light stop typically from the surface, or how many feet down?
It depends on the clarity of the water.
Yeah.
Free divers tend to go in places with really high visibility. But when they are in the hundreds of meters, it does get dark, and you'll see them have little headlamps. Yeah.
Oh wow.
So have you had a chance to work with David?
Oh, Daniel?
Or Daniel? Yes. Have you had a chance to dive with him yet?
Them, we haven't really run into each other yet.
I think we should do a shout out for him.
What up?
That's awesome that he's representing our country and
absolutely
having us catch up with the rest of the world.
I know. We need to get there. We need to show face.
Well, it says to something of people that go through those extremes. I think I just watched the other day the Unstoppable with what's her name from Kauai? I'm already blanking on her name.
Oh, Bethany.
Yeah, Bethany. She got her arm bitten off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I highly recommend you guys go watch it. She has done aerial surfing. She's done competitive surfing and big wave surfing. Every kind of imaginal surfing, she's done it, and it's just been amazing. And she was doing all of this stuff while she had a brand new baby.
Wow!
So the highly recommend people. And I don't think that documentary. I don't know if it's made. It's not wide release, so you got to look for it. And I don't know if it even made it to the mainland. But a pretty cool documentary that's in the theaters as we speak, called Unstoppable. But she just talked about, do you have similar traits there? She has really a big affinity to the ocean. I mean, it's like her centering thing.
I think her big reason, I'm not sure I've seen that exact one, but she comes back to her why. It's kind of what you said earlier. What's your why? And and that's what pushes you through to keep going.
Yeah. So, and then as far as breathing, it's just, even if somebody goes through this class, they're like, I don't know what, unless people are like, I want to go to shipwrecks and without a tank, or, you have the purpose, which is with the divers, right? The free divers when they're spearfishing.
Yeah.
But for individuals that aren't spearfishing, man, you're saying that this is a great way for someone to learn breathing techniques.
Yeah.
To reduce stress.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about for like childbirth?
Actually, there is a crossover of some of those.
Yes. Lamaze
and the most
training.
Embarrassing one is some of these breathing techniques actually help with irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, wow.
Just funny.
So there's all sorts of additional benefits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so not just from like being able to dive down deep and see like the awesome marine life, you really translate well into
meditation.
All aspects of life.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
stress reduction.
Yeah, getting back to that, it's definitely a focused environment where you have to do it, right? You can't 66 feet down. Oh, I'll just take a quick breath here because there's no oxygen. So it's focused, that mind-body connection again that I was talking about. Are you able to slow your, because part of it is being able to slow your heart rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that? Or do you use any kind of biofeedback? Like you looked at something or your pulse?
The mammalian reflex.
Oh, yes.
We all have it. When we're on a dive, free divers always say it's a dive within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, when they're really controlled with their body and keeping a straight line, they actually close their eyes. So the competitors, not for spearfishing so much, but you really do have to tap in within yourself and get in touch with your body. But we do have a mammalian reflex that serves us. It's kind of like why your fingers prune.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that you can grip better underwater. And there's like nomadic sea tribes that the kids dive from such a young age that within their lifetime, their eyes actually adapt to be able to see underwater.
Oh, wow.
Way better than anyone who doesn't grow up doing that. But even for the reflex can help someone like me who didn't really get into freediving until a couple years ago.
Yeah.
The average person is physiologically capable of holding their breath for 3 minutes. It comes down to techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
So do you have some upcoming courses, or how often are your classes offered? Like, how does that work if any of our listeners want to, you know, sign up and...
Absolutely. You can check out my website for upcoming dates, oceantroller.com. Follow my IG handle at oceantroller. I teach the freediving about one course a month for the basic. And then starting January, I will do the intermediate courses. And I've got snorkeling courses that are more on the daily for anyone who's interested in getting over those.
The fears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or just the baby steps, right?
The baby steps.
How to get out there and make it enjoyable. Because I'm born and raised here in Hawaii. And I'll tell you right now, if no matter what's going on in my life, if I go to jump in the ocean,
you feel better.
Always feel better. I feel like the ocean is like a natural, you know, like you there are things
it
out there.
With you.
Like our heat feeling. Sinks. I think it's a negative vibe sink. It just drains it all away.
All the ions in the ocean.
That's why we were all, you know, that's why, like, I'll just sit out there on that tube when we were on the boat with the Swift Shore and just, I like just sitting in the water. And some people are like, I'll go in the water and then come out. No, but I'll, like, stay out there till we bring the anchor up. And
then
like
you
that.
Sleep real good at night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it probably comes back to when we're all babies, right, in the mommy's tummy, and we're all in the amniotic fluid. We're just floating around. So we all like to float. Got to get back to floating and teaching people how to hold their breath. That's the record, right? 9 months you're holding your breath?
Oh, and just to hit on Kuleana, I do
yeah.
Cleanups. I've adopted Kapalama Canal, so check social media and stuff if you want to help out.
Where's
prevent
that canal
some
at?
Trash. It's off of Kokea Street by HCC.
Okay, and then give us more directions. I'm trying to think, where is this canal?
So, like, there's the Costco in Kalihi. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Instead of turning right down dreaded Costco Road,
yeah.
you go left. And it's literally next to HCC's parking lot.
And why did you pick this canal or whatever?
Because I live in Kalihi,
okay.
On the ocean. So I wanted to prevent junk from getting further by capturing it when it's at the stream and kind of the stuff that blows. Kalihi has so much wind and it just...
Yeah.
Man,
so you're tired of seeing
trash.
Like those VW bugs, refrigerators, outhouses coming down the stream into the ocean. Okay.
All right. Well, Jackie, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, guys.
We enjoyed the time with you and learning all about freediving and your company and your history. And
give them that social media and the website.
Yes.
Again.
Oceantroller.com.
Mm-hmm.
And on Facebook and IG at Oceantroller.
All right, guys. Well, stay tuned for my Mauna Kea update on our next show. We're coming to the end of another real estate show.
And thank you for listening. And thank you to our sponsors.
Jody Tonga and Derek Tonga of Pacific Rim Mortgage.
Bradley Mariama of Allstate Insurance.
Kenji Vendetta of Pillar to Post Home Inspections.
Janice Merland of Dreamhouse Drafting.
John Speed with Kilauea Pest Control.
Duke Kim Han of Hawaii Pacific Property Management.
And Thomas Patterson with Patterson Land Surveying. If you want to get a hold of any of our sponsors, just go to teamlally.com.
We also want to give a big thank you to Leah, our producer here in the studio.
Jee-hoo.
Make sure to tune in next week. We'll have an awesome guest talking about something that'll change your life
forever. This is the Team Lally Real Estate Show, home of the guaranteed
sold program.
We can't sell your home at the agreed upon price and our time frame. We'll have it bought for cash.
Thanks and aloha.